I'm going to rewind the clock a bit this morning to the birth of John and hear the words from his father, Zechariah. Our scripture comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. Listen for God's word. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, illumine your word that we might see Christ, the living word, the light of the world. Amen. A few years ago, I bought some blackout curtains for my bedroom, because I'm the kind of person who can't sleep unless the room is pitch black dark. Outside my window, there's this annoying street lamp that flickers on and off with an orange glow throughout the night. So every night before I go to bed, I close those curtains tightly to make sure that no pesky orange light breaks in. But every morning, without fail, I find out how feeble those curtains really are. Bright light from the rising sun pours into every tiny crack in between the curtains and wakes me up. Today we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord Jesus, the mystery of his incarnation, the wonder of God in human flesh. On this day, the new light of Christ's bright sunrise is pouring through those closed curtains of Advent. God has come into the world to fill the darkened rooms of our hearts. To borrow Paul's language, Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Glorious God has come humbly to us as one of us. Because of his great love, he comes down to shine light into dark places, to walk alongside us, to both pursue us and to lead us. But how does he do it? That's the mystery of Epiphany. Not in great displays of power and might, but in weakness, in giving himself up for our sake, and handing himself over in humility. In our text for this morning, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, looks at his small baby boy and has a vision of the light that is coming into the world. His song is one of praise to God and hope for what God will do not only through his son John, but also, and more so, through God's own son Jesus. If you recall, Zechariah was visited by the angel Gabriel, who told him of his son's birth. But Zechariah doubted the angel's words. And so the angel took away Zechariah's ability to speak. In our text for this morning, we hear Zechariah's first words spoken since that visitation. 9 months of silence. 9 months of watching and pondering. 9 months to quietly think about what God would do in the life of this child. 9 months to ponder what God would do in the life of his people. he says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The sunrise shall visit us from on high. No more does Zechariah wonder. No longer does he doubt. He is certain. God's Holy Spirit speaks through him to give us all the assurance that God's light is breaking into our world through Jesus. God has done, is doing, and will do great things. Zechariah, whose name means God remembers, has himself remembered that God is gracious. Like Mary's song earlier in the text, we hear the hope and the joy in Zechariah's words. Zechariah, like Mary, gives thanks to God for what God will do in his son's life. But surely Zechariah and Mary know that it won't be easy. Surely they have some idea of what this life will hold for their sons. After all, John was to be God's prophet. As one preacher says, except for Elijah, prophets in the Old Testament didn't typically have a good retirement plan. The life of God's prophet was not an easy one. So why this hope and joy for Zechariah? Let us remember that joy is not the same thing as happiness. Neither is hope the same thing as optimism. Joy and hope run deeper. They're built on something firmer. Zechariah knows the world is not perfect. He knows it better than most. He and everyone he loves are living under the cruel oppression of a foreign empire, Rome. You can hear it in his words when he speaks of those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Death hangs over this people like a shadow. The world into which John and Jesus are born is not a happy place, and Zechariah knows what lies ahead. For his son, and for God's own son, Jesus, it's suffering and it's death. But by God's grace, death is not the end of the story. Christian writer Ben Madison tells of his first experience as a foster parent. He writes, "The reality of foster care is that it exists because the world is broken. Child abuse, drug addiction, neglect, poverty, systematic injustice, sin, and death. Our hope for a family is inextricably linked to the suffering and darkness of this world. They brought a baby to our doorstep, an answer to, but also the result of so much pain. So I cry because she's perfect, and I love her, and I can't believe she's here, and my heart breaks that she can't be where she should be, that she's with us instead." People love asking the question, "Are you prepared to give her back?" As if that's a normal question one might ask any new parent. Are you ready to give this thing you love more than you thought you knew you could back to the uncertainty and brokenness of this world? It seems to me this question could be asked of any parent. Are you ready to lose a child? Life is fragile. The world is broken. Things don't go according to plan. Are you ready to lose something you love? Seems like a reasonable question, but we don't ask it because it seems wrong. There's no denying the brokenness and darkness that exists in and holds this world captive. And yet we look for, we grasp for, we long for with sighs too deep for words, the light shining in the darkness. He says, "The irony of our hope being found in a baby is not lost on me this season. The irony of the light scattering the darkness, through the offering off of, the handing over of, a son is not lost on me. Zechariah looks in the face of his son. He imagines a world into which God's own son has come. And he sees a reason to hope. He sees cause for joy. He says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide their feet into the way of peace." Maybe there's a parallel between what God is doing and what Zechariah is being called to do. God the Father is handing over his son, Jesus, to the darkness of this world. Zechariah is handing over his son, John, to God. At the heart of both of these acts is a love of unsearchable depth. It's God's love. In giving himself over to the darkness, God in Christ is overcoming that darkness. This is the source of Zechariah's thanksgiving, of his hope, of his joy, of his faith. It's not that his son John will have an easy life. It's the knowledge that God has come in Jesus to give light to those who sit in darkness. It's the profound experience of the assurance of God's love. Zechariah knows the world is a broken place. He knows there's darkness. And yet, despite that darkness, he gives his son in joy to the God who loves him. Christ came into a broken world as a helpless baby. Jesus emptied himself of glory to come to our side. In humility, he came to bring light to a world in darkness. He came to share that light with us so that we too could shine his light into dark places. When we share one another's burdens, Christ's light shines. When we care for the sick and serve the poor, Christ's light shines. When we comfort the grieving and visit the lonely, Christ's light shines. When we come to worship as to his body, the church, Christ's light shines. It doesn't take magical powers. There was nothing supernatural about Zechariah's son, John. He was a normal man with a calling from God. His task was to point not to himself, but to Christ in all that he did. And friends, we have that same calling, to point to Christ, to share his light, to hand ourselves over to God. Methodist preacher Taylor Mertens tells the story of a woman who was sitting in darkness. She had a drug addiction. She was sitting in the floor of her dark apartment. Her infant baby was crying in the other room, but in her hand was clutched a phone number for a Christian counselor that her mother had given her years before. Having nowhere else to turn, she calls the number. A man picks up the phone and listens to her story all through the night. By the end, she feels different. She sees her life from a new perspective. She's been transformed in some small way. And so she asks the man and says, "How long have you been a Christian counselor?" He pauses for a moment and says, "Actually, you dialed the wrong number. I just felt like you needed someone to talk to." It was at that moment that the woman knew that there is love in the world and that some of it was meant for her. That all it takes is a tiny pinhole of hope for all of grace to come pouring in. A tiny pinhole of hope, a crack in the curtain. Christ's light, like a flood, rushes in.